This is a podcast about two sisters raised in an effed up family. My name is Christine. I am Jesse's older sister. I was raised by a gaslighting, manipulative mother who raised me to believe people either rejected you or weren't rejecting you. My father was a crazy, racist, vulgar alcoholic who was in and out of my life.
And my name is Jesse. I'm Christine's little sister. I was raised solely by the crazy, racist father who raised me to believe I had to earn or buy someone's love.
Hello to all of our Family Burrito listeners out there whose father thought the 70s television miniseries Roots was hilarious because the main character couldn't keep his African name, Kuta Kinte, after he was sold into slavery. Welcome back to the Family Burrito. My name is Christine. My sister Jessie and I created this podcast as a way to heal the roots in our own family. Jessie?
Hey, how are you doing?
I am tired. I just had the craziest nap. Was not expecting to sleep for like 2 to 3 hours. And then I woke up disoriented, laying there, and because I was having this very interesting dream, I kind of wanted to go back to sleep and finish that dream because it was getting really good. But then I woke up and was kind of laying there dazed and confused, and then got up and was trying to eat, and then bit the crap out of my lip, so kind of bleeding everywhere. So how are you?
Oh, that sucks. That happens. God, I'm okay. I just laid down and I'm eating Skittles that Michael brought me. He bought me sour candy and Skittles. This guy.
So how's your leg?
It's doing good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I went to the doctor on Thursday, and they took this. I had 22 staples total, and they took all 22 staples out, and then they gave me what are those? I forgot what those are called. The little strips, the standing strips or whatever.
Steri strips.
Yeah, steri strips. I was like, what are those things called? The steri strips, they put those over my wounds now. And I just have to wait for those to dissolve.
Is that from like the surgical incision?
Yeah. Because then when they like did surgery, they stapled everything shut. Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, it's crazy that the number is 22 as well.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
Because two, Robbie and Grandma.
Oh, yeah. Assholes. Did they push me off my dirt bike?
Remember why she's here, to teach you those hard lessons, to put detours, to make you stronger, Jessie.
Oh, I know. She's a bitch.
Tell me about it. Why
you gotta make me stronger, Grandma? I'm okay with being weak.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be a pussy.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Okay, I'm just fine with that. Yeah. I know, it's crazy. It's like, okay, lady. I mean, just when you get all comfortable and relaxed, and it throws you a dang doozy.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're able to walk?
I can put weight on my foot, or my leg, I should say, right? So I can put weight on it, and I can walk with the walker, and I'm just trying to do that and my exercises and stretches and stuff, just to kind of get everything activated and good.
Yeah. So they're allowing you to put weight on your leg that's fractured.
Oh, what? I'm sorry.
They're allowing you to put weight on your leg that's fractured, right?
Yes, yeah.
Cool. And did they say, like, how many times a day you can do that? Do they want you walking like crazy? Like, what is their, did they give you specific instructions?
They just said just walk in until you need, like, an oxy, basically.
Okay. Walk until you bleed.
But I've just been taking it, like, I'm not really doing, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to, like, walk until I'm, like, in
pain. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've just been walking like I normally do, and then I rest when I need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can walk, right? I mean, you can walk. It just hurts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it hurts and it's swollen and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh man. And so are you doing any physical therapy? Is home health coming at all?
Yeah. So home health care came, they came yesterday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I start PT. I basically started PT and they just kind of like took an assessment of where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I have like five, I think I have five sessions my insurance pays for.
Nice.
Yeah. That's better than nothing.
Yeah, that's true. That's better than nothing for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're on the road to recovery. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I just heard an engine go by, like a little cart go by. Because you said every time you hear an engine, that's dad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's so many. It just keeps going by. And it just started.
Well, that's rude. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, dad, stop. Yeah. So I have been, you know, working as usual. And, but thank God I was off this weekend because I miss working on my business stuff. I recorded Thursday evening. I recorded with another nurse practitioner. She's an adult geriatric practitioner and she's an African American female. And it's about her journey as having a mother who was never there in her life, trying to teach herself how to be a parent. And then not just a parent, but having a kid that has ADHD and navigating the school system.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah. And she knew from the time her daughter was like three that she had ADHD and the challenges of getting the school system to evaluate her were really, really challenging. So anyways, so we had a really good conversation and also about how in the African American community, they're not, and they're in most of the cultures and communities are not allowed to, it's just very ingrained, not being allowed to express themselves. Like if you cry, you're told you're being a crybaby. I had one client a few weeks ago who's an African American female, and it was a third year death anniversary of her husband. And she was crying. And her sister was like, why are you crying? You're being a crybaby. When are you going to get over it?
Whoa.
So it's very ingrained that they're not allowed to show emotion. And that goes back into the enslaved days. And because if you showed emotion, you would get killed. Because you were viewed as weak property. So we were talking about that. And there was a book that her and I are going to start reading. It's called A Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. And how a lot of these things that were ingrained, you know, starting them in today's culture in the African American community, how that's impacting them. And after talking to her, I'm like, well, now it makes sense because if you don't release that stuff from your body, trauma, the tears, you know, whatever way, then your body holds on to it and it manifests in other ways. And so African Americans have the highest hypertension rates, stroke rates. So I bet you a lot of that is connected to not being able to release all those emotions, you know, so it just builds up, you know. And so her and I are actually talking about making a third podcast and discussing like events back in slavery and how today it has impacted the community. And one super cool thing that I am really, really proud of is that I was, as we were talking about, like kind of making this like Black mental health podcast, I went and Googled Black mental health podcasts and there weren't very many that came up, but mine came up.
Mine. Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah. So I was very, very happy about that because, I mean, I was shocked, you know, I was like, oh my God. I mean, I had to sit there and, you know, pause and take that in because I was like, wow, that's just so, that's just not where I thought my life was going. And I love that it's going this way because I definitely want to make a difference in this world and whoever and wherever, you know, so.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm very, very happy. So, yeah. So we're talking about making a third podcast, Jesse. So,
I You're can't busy, wait
because,
girl.
Because I love history. And so, and I don't really know, quite frankly, I don't know a lot about slavery. I don't know about slavery. Like, I mean, I know generally, okay, general facts, but not like details of maybe something specifically of like, if they did cry, how would they get punished? How were the women treated differently than the men, you know? And so, and, you know, just like African-American men, you know, back in the slavery days, you know, they didn't get any opportunities to express how they felt. And so now there's, you know, in today's culture is, you know, not a lot of Black men go get counseling or therapy because they've never been told or exposed to it being okay to express your emotions. So
what man does get therapy? I guess it's just like really, really rare for Blacks, but like,
mm-hmm.
the Black community, but like your average man probably doesn't even like really want to show much emotion because boys don't really cry, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it depends. If you're white and affluent, you're going to go get therapy and you're probably going to get diagnosed with ADHD and prescribed Adderall. So I think it depends on your race and the poverty level, you know, and all that. So, you know,
yeah,
if you're a 17-year-old white male, he's growing up in a, you know, very affluent part of society, you're probably gotten therapy because you're not listening to your mother and whatever, you know?
Yeah, for sure. But some like hillbilly,
right?
South,
right?
Like, I don't need therapy. I just go ride a motorcycle.
Well, they don't even what, graduate high school because they got to go work.
Yeah, but sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or they just get kicked out of their house.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's all very, very interesting. But yeah, and the purpose of it is to normalize mental health. You know.
Right. Exactly. But that would help a lot too, because I think a lot of people have so many issues that like you just don't think about. So in welding school, we have like different phases, right?
Mm-hmm.
So within these different phases, we are grouped together with other people. And in this phase, there's this one girl, and she's like 20 years old, you know, she's a baby. So she made a mistake. Like, she was upset one day, right? She
mm-hmm.
had made a mistake and basically her plate, like she had her plate tacked up and her plate fell onto the gas line headed to the welder.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so upset. She didn't pick up the plate immediately. She just let it sit there because she didn't mm-hmm. realize that it fell on the gas line.
Mm.
And it, like, melted through.
What?
And she almost blew up her welder.
Oh, my God.
Of the, like, woe is me kind of mentality of, mm-hmm. like, oh, man, I'm having a bad day. Let me sit here and mope.
Yeah.
Instead of, like,
no urgency, no critical thinking.
Correct, right. And again, 20. So I'm like, I get it. Like, your brain's not fully developed. Like, you're...
Mm-hmm.
And you can almost tell by looking at this girl, somebody hurt her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to her, and she's like, yeah, I'm just afraid to ask for help because I always got yelled at for asking
mm-hmm.
for help. And I was like, who do I need to beat up? You know, I was like, who yelled at you? And she smiled and she was like, my parents and a lot of my teachers.
Mm.
And I was just like, well, you're an adult now. So just make sure your voice is heard because it's important. And it was important when you were a child, but now that you're an adult, you have the ability to say, hey, look, dude, I'm an adult. You're going to treat me accordingly. Mm. Like, I've earned at least this amount of respect, haven't I? And to people that like want to yell at her, like her parents or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's rough. It's hard. If you ask for help and somebody's yelling at you,
mm-hmm.
It's like, or if you ask, like, you feel like somebody's going to think you're dumb if you ask a question,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm just glad I never cared what people thought.
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I ask dumb shit all the time.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you were able to tell her that. I mean, I don't know if she probably never even heard that. I mean, how did she react?
She just, you know, she was happy. Like, she started feeling better, you know. She could feel like, you could see that her mood was getting better, you know? Mm-hmm. But then later on that day, she messed up her torch. So she just wasn't having a good day.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, then I went to my instructor, Alex, because I was like rolling by in my wheelchair, you know?
Uh-huh. Oh, you're still going to, you're still in welding school? Oh my God, that's so funny. I love it.
Yeah. So I'm like rolling around.
You're like the old lady in the wheelchair now that's going around. You're the old lady on the porch, chain smoking, giving advice to all the people, all the youngsters.
Right. I am. And I roll up to Alex, you know, he's like 35, my welding instructor. And I'm like, yeah, this is why you don't let women weld. And then I was like, I can say that. You can't say
that. Yeah. That is so funny. Well, and two, like, the thing is, like, what you were saying, how she didn't notice what was going on. She was in her head. I mean, what makes me wonder immediately, like, maybe she has ADHD or ADD, because it's very underdiagnosed in girls, because it's, like, looked as daydreaming. It looks like we're daydreaming, you know?
Yeah, and she was just sad.
Yeah, and also, too, like, kids that have ADD or ADHD, you know, it looks like they're not paying attention, but they're actually really overwhelmed.
Yeah, but she almost blew herself up because of it.
I know.
And I was right behind her, and I told her, I made a joke. I was like, I'm already in a wheelchair, girl. I don't need to end up in anything else.
Yeah. I love it, Jesse. I need you to, like, get rid of a couple teeth. Please, please. God, I need that. Oh, my God, I love that. You're just rolling around. What other advice are you giving people?
Other than that, just I always... when I'm done with my assignment or whatever, I just go around and ask if people need help.
I love that. Do they look at you? I mean, do they look at you with, I feel real sorry for her eyes? Or are they, like, how do they?
Most people are just like, they think I'm a badass. And I love it. I'm like, oh, thank you. Because I'm a big pussy. Yeah. But thanks for thinking I'm a badass.
yeah that's
but it's because I'm also welding. They're like,
yeah, well, yeah, do you wear sunglasses while you're giving this advice too? like those ombre sunglasses where you can kind of see your eyes,
welding hood. Welding hood's on top of my head. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have this these ombre sunglasses where they can kind of see your eyes, and they kind of can't.
<It's> like, <you know? laughs> Do you need any advice? But yeah, no, I just try to help people out, because some people, some of the people in the class, they're newer, and they didn't have the same instructor I did going into it. Mm-hmm. And the instructor I had going into it, Jared, he was really good, like, at paying attention to our needs and, like, helping us learn how to weld. Mm-hmm. You know? And some instructors don't do that.
Yeah.
They just kind of give you the tools, and they're like, figure it out. Mm-hmm. So, I try, you know, some people are, you know, natural born welders, and some people, they just need a little bit of guidance. And I definitely needed the guidance. And now that I have a little bit of knowledge, I'm like, I will help people.
Mm, I love that.
Well, thank you.
That's beautiful.
I've been helped a lot, though, too. I'm needy as well. Like,
yeah. So how long before you're like walking, how long is that gonna take?
I don't know. They haven't given me a number, but they want me walking like soon, though. They want me, because mm-hmm. they were like, if you don't start doing it, at least with the walker, you're gonna forget how to walk. Mm. Basically, like, your leg's gonna be all limp.
Right.
So I'm just trying to do my best, you know?
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, I was able
to clean the kitchen on my own today, which was
what?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I put the dishes up and did the dishes.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very proud. And I did laundry.
Dang. That's really awesome.
Housewife shit.
Mm-hmm. Real housewives of fractured leg shit.
Yeah.
Well, I've been this past week I've been doggy sitting for Jolf. Yeah, because he was out of town for a business trip, and boy, his little dog Cooper is something else. My God, that dog. Let's just say he terrorized Taco the whole time. He would dig in his litter box. There was like cat litter, cat shit. I couldn't tell what was cat shit and cat and dog poop. Like, and then so Taco started pissing on my clothes in the closet because he was being terrorized. And the dog was like chewing up everything, and it was just, I mean, I was happy that Jolf came and got little Cooper. Jolf came back in town Friday. Well, he came back in town a little bit before then, but he came over Friday evening and stayed the night, and then took little Cooper home. But Jolf was not feeling good, and now he is COVID positive, Jesse.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him to get, you know, all the drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, so
Do you know which one it is?
I think he just took like a home COVID test.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And strangely he's got syphilis too. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Man.
But no, I'm just kidding. But he you know, he's resting. I haven't talked to him much today because he's been sleeping, but then I fell asleep and was like, you know, slept for a long time. And I was talking to my friend Daniel last night, and he was like, you know, telling me, you know, it's going to be okay. And I'm like, well, I'm not actually worried about it because, like, you know, I guess he thought maybe I was be concerned that I was going to get it. I'm like, I'm around COVID patients every day now because the numbers are like skyrocketing back up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And if I worry about getting it from my patients, then what's going to happen is my stress hormones are going to be released. And then my immune system's going to go down. So I walk in and I'm like, I ain't worried about it. And I'll even forget they even have it, you know?
Right.
So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So like, you know, I just, you know, so I'm not worried if I have both two vaccines and a booster. So I'm not worried about it. You know, I mean, I could sit here and go, well, but how long would those last? Well, that's my ego, you know, and then I'm going to get everything all stirred up. And that's exactly why I created my podcast, How Coronavirus Saved My Life, because 2 years ago, it's a different story. I was living in fear and living in panic. And now I'm living in the moment, you know, best I can. And just doing what feels good to me in the moment. And it feels good to take a nap, or it feels good to have conversation with my friends, you know, let Jolf rest. You know, that feels good to let him rest, you know.
Yeah.
The old me would have been like, why isn't he calling me? Why isn't he calling me? And I'm like, he's resting. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just what a difference 2 years makes, you know, during, you know, a pandemic nobody knew anything about, and now things are ramping up again, and I'm just like, whatevs, you know?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy that it's ramping up again, but, like, you don't really hear about it like you did before, either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, all you hear more about gas prices, mm-hmm. Ukraine, and freaking Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about how the world's ending in other ways.
Right, right, right.
You know, and, you know, if you look at the news today and compare it to, like, let's just say the news in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
It's so similar.
Right.
Like, it's like the end of the world, the end of the world, the end of the world.
Yeah, yeah, we're in a competition to get to the moon. We're in a competition with a race with Russia, you know. See, and here we go, Russia again. This is why I'm saying the media, all of it, none of that's an accident, right? None of that. They purposely do that. And, you know, they put things out to gauge, like, how will this affect people's emotions, you know? And when people start talking about it, they're going to put more and more of it because people are feeding off of that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's like, you know, most of the people you see online or just in the world support Ukraine, right? But then mm-hmm. there's like that 1% that's like, I support Russia. But mm-hmm. but you don't hear it that much, right? But mm-hmm. most people are united on the Ukraine front.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that if we're told that we need to be mad at Russia and happy, like, and try to help Ukraine, we just do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was not a party thing. It just became what it was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we've given Ukraine so much money. Like, I was reading some article. Man, I wish I could remember the article, but it was basically like, we've spent 15 times more helping Russia, Ukraine, than we would have on Trump's wall. And God. I was like, damn, that's a crazy comparison, but that's a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, when Trump was president, we were complaining about how much money he wanted to spend on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, okay, I understand helping the world, and I understand the United States is, like, the world police. You know? I get that. But we're struggling so much right now as a country. Like, our economy is not the best. So, I just wonder where things, like, are leading now. Like, where do they want us to, where do they want us in their little thought bubble, you know?
Well, it sounds like, Jesse, what you're saying to me, that the United States needs to start setting boundaries with itself and doing self-protection and using those two little letters, N-O, no.
Yeah, but it makes us look like assholes, right?
Yeah.
Because we've, like, basically told the Ukraine that we would help them. And again, we're the world police, and we always stick our nose in everywhere.
Well, correct, right? And so, and our, like, other countries are helping us, right? As right. well, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so why are we not all just helping equally in a financial level? Like, right? Are we, like, the biggest donor people for that cause going on?
I honestly don't know how much, I'm sure Europe is, as a whole, is investing a lot in Ukraine. Because mm-hmm. nobody likes Russia. Mm-hmm. But again, like, I think a lot of people are supplying Russia. Like, I think China is, like, trying to help Russia.
Yeah.
So I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure they are, though. Because, like, that was, like, one of the things Biden was mad about. Like, because they all cut off China altogether if they're going to help Russia.
Oh, God. I'm so scared, Biden. You're just so intimidating. I'm sorry. I just can figure, I'll cut off China. I'm just like, okay, you're the old man that nobody's scared of down the street.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
what I mean?
Can't even remember how to tie your shoes, my dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's that old man down the street that thinks he's intimidating, and people are listening to him, but no one, everybody just kind of feels sorry for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really sad that he is president. Well, it's sad that he is president at the state that he's in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
When he was vice president, I mean, that would have probably been a better time for him to be president.
Yeah.
But whatever. It is what it is. You can't control it, but we can sure bitch about it.
Yeah, and we can still, you know, say how we would do it differently or how wrong it is or, you know, just, you know, right, talk about it and then, you know, not talk about solutions to it. But I mean, I think, you know, boundaries are good. Like, people need boundaries. We need boundaries. Boundaries keeps us safe. That's why, like, it's important, like, for dogs, like, putting them in a crate. Like, I've been putting I put little Cooper in a crate. At first I wasn't, you know, because he kind of runs around like a crazy banshee. But I started because he whines all the time. I showed you that picture of his dick, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Huge explain dick. To the audience yeah, I sent you the picture of little Cooper and his, I didn't know a dog had a dick like this.
It was like a porn star dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only way I know how to describe it. And I felt dirty looking at it.
Yeah. You're like, this is explicit.
I was like, I'm going to get arrested.
yeah, so he whines all the time, I think because he runs around with a big of dick in him, and so he's got big dick energy. Okay, big D energy. So anyway, so I put him in I started putting him in his crate and he would stop whining because it helps us. We need boundaries, right? We need boundaries. Right.
Exactly, we all do. And that's, again, we could say no, but at the state of the world, that would have just made us, I don't know, it would have made us look like bad Americans, even though most of the world hates us anyway.
Yeah, so it's like we're worried about judgment. Why?
Yeah, we're already fat and ignorant.
I'm rolling around in wheelchairs giving advice nobody wants, and I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, nobody asked me if they wanted. They don't need help. I'm just like, hey, you need help? But you know what, though?
I love it.
But you know what's funny, though? Like, 80% of the time, people need help when I ask.
That's so that I love that.
Because they just don't want to ask. They're like usually in their little freaking booths, like,
yes, I mean, yes. We're all struggling. We're all struggling. All of us.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
not just Ukraine, you know, in our own backyards, we're all struggling. Why is nobody asking us for help? What do we need help with? Why is Biden not calling me asking what I need help with? I need help, Biden.
Yeah, what was the, who, so, okay, back in the day when I lived with Grandma, she would make me, like, get dressed on weekends when we had nothing to do just in case the president came by.
What?
This is real facts.
So, okay, whoa. She would make you get dressed just in case the president was going to come by?
Yeah.
The president of the United States?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Because I can't remember what president it is. I really want to Google it right now so I know. But there was a president at one point and he tried to knock on every American's door and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
When he was president.
Is that why that one picture where you have that like fake fur coat on and you've got this dress on? Is that why you were all dressed like that?
Oh, I also played dress up in grandma's clothes.
Yeah. Well, I know for a fact she dressed you up that day. She dressed you in a nice outfit. I don't know why or where you were going.
I don't either, but I do. She had really cool. She had good taste.
Oh, for sure.
But you know, at the same time, if she was still alive, she would hate the clothes today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like like when I try to Google it, it's definitely not coming up. It just talks about Biden.
So she told you that there was a president that was coming by knocking on all these people's doors.
Okay, this is it. Okay, basically, okay. The origins of modern campaigning, 1860 to 1932.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes sense because Grandma was born in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when presidents were campaigning, they would go door to door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she, I guess that's what she was talking about. Like, you don't know when the president's going to come by.
Oh my God. I mean, did the president ever come by, though?
No. Not George Bush, but Clinton was busy getting his slob knobbed on.
What?
His knob slobbed on.
Did you take an oxy while we were in the middle of recording just now? I mean, because now you're slurring your words, you're being sexually inappropriate.
You know that song, slob on your knob. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It's that one. It's a 3-6 Mafia.
Oh boy.
That's what Clinton was doing.
Yeah. Before we end our episode, I wanted to ask you an important question, Jesse. When was the last time you squirted?
Oh, it's been a while.
So you do squirt?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever squirted. So it's been like 32 years.
I'm trying to figure out if this is a hereditary thing or just a me thing.
I think
or just a Jolf thing.
A Jolf. It could be a Jolf.
Yeah.
With this huge rod.
The other day, not to be TMI, but I'm going to be TMI anyways, because I have no one to talk to about this. You're the only one, I feel like, but it was so intense over and over that we had to take the sheets on the bed and put it over the canopy on the top of the bed to let the sheet dry. It was just so.
That's a lot.
Yeah. When it like shoots you in your eye.
You should just wash the sheet, dude.
Yeah.
That's wash worthy.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, I definitely washed it for sure. And the mattress pad that I had to specifically buy that's like waterproof. So I mean, it's a whole thing. And I've gone through towels, and I mean, it's the whole thing over here.
You have a problem. I would just like get a separate bed just for that.
You know what? You're a genius. I should get like one of those like pools, you know, those like inflatable pools, and just, you know, just be in that.
Fill it up, you know, fill it up with water. Who knows? What's what?
But the cool part, what I love about it, is that I feel like I have, like, lost so much weight afterwards. I'm like, oh, my God, I can fit into these jeans now.
You're less bloated.
Yeah. So that was just a question I had for you. I'm thank you for being honest and answering.
Yeah, I can't think of any times, you know. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I'm kind of like a weirdo. I'm like, don't touch that.
Yeah.
So maybe it depends on what they touch, right?
Yeah.
I'm a fucking prude, man.
Are you?
No, not really, but sometimes. I'm just not, like, gonna be like, hey, BDSM.
Oh, God, I love it.
That's a whole different thing. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, yeah, I used to go to BDSM clubs with my old roommate. And I was, like, mesmerized by these stories, because he was like, this guy had a chastity thing on the tip of his dick. And it had spikes in it. And God. So if you got a hard on, the spikes would, like, hurt the tip of his dick so he didn't get a hard on.
What?
Yeah. I was what? Like, those motherfuckers are what? Drugs. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that right now.
Yeah. I, like, ouch.
Yeah, that's self-harm in a twisted, fucked up way.
But that's BDSM, right? Like, that's like, they like pain and they like that.
It's like pleasure of pain.
Or they're like a dominant person and they're like, give me all your money and don't ever get a hard on again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, God, that sounds like the government.
Yeah, and women.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, God, that's hilarious. Oh, God, Jesse. Jill's never going to put a ring on it now. That's funny. Well, girl, that's all I know. I love you so much. I'm glad you're healing and things are getting better.
All right, I love you.